Blog Talk Radio.
Well, folks, welcome to one more edition of Politics Done Right. I'm Egberto Willis, your host. Thank you very much for spending yet another Saturday with me. I value your time. I trust that you will give us a call at 646-929-2495. Again, that number is 646-929-2495. Give me a call today. It's an open forum. I do not have a blog of the week to read this morning, so we, in effect, go directly into the show. So please give me a call. Again, that is 646-929-2495. Again, that number is 646-929-2495. Anyhow, so what are we talking about today? Well, you know, as you know from the show we did last week and moving on, starting up with that, we know that the Democrats took a thrashing, took a thumping, took a whatever you want to call it. But anyhow, Democrats took a shellacking in the 2014 midterm elections. They did so even as they ran away from President Obama. It seems like it was a poor move, wasn't it? Seems like a very poor move. Why would you buy into a false narrative running on, you know, quantifiable accomplishments? Democrats deserved to lose. The president acquiesced to their request for timid action. That's what they requested. They didn't want any bold moves. They wanted to be Republican light. But the Republican light action failed. I have a typo in my blog post that needs to be corrected. Americans want a choice. Americans want options, real options. Some do want conservative options. Some want liberal options. Some want actions that are what people like to call the center. However, we know that that is really disputable, because how centered is it for policies, rather progressive, that all Americans really, really want? It seems that the president will use his last 2 years to do just that. Going up, I believe it drops at 2:15 Eastern time on Daily Coast. And in effect, I said, wow, the president has gone full left. Well, it's not quite full left, but for him, it is full left. The guy has actually got, it was almost, you know, I did a little snippet in that post that I did for Daily Coast where I dissected his news conference, and it was amazing because the news conference actually showed a liberated president. I have nothing else to lose. I have nothing to run for. All I need to worry about is the well-being of the American people. And I won't let Democrats stop me from from looking out for the well-being of the American people. I won't let Republicans stop me from looking out for the well-being of the American people. The only people can stop me from looking out for the well-being of the American people is the American people. So therefore, if you want a president that is going to be looking out for the well-being of the American people, you better get busy. I don't care who you are, what you are, but you better get busy and ensure that you fill the vessel that is any politician with what you need him to do. You better fill that vessel, because right now, the plutocracy is in fear. The thing that they feared from the time this man got into office, they're worried now that it may come to fruition in his last 2 years without the direction of a Congress. And the funny thing about it is, in as much as executive power has limitations of the presidents under which the executive power occurred, if the executive powers in effect become successful, doom be the Congress who attempts to undo said executive orders. So don't think that the presidency is as weak as many would want to say the president is weak, or the duration of executive orders would simply be the duration of the presidency. Because if that turns out to be what America wants in all these executive orders, that is what America will get, because it will make it known in 2016. And that is their fears. Do you know why it is there is this big hoopla about signing the immigration executive order? It isn't that it's so bad. There's a real backstory there. The problem is this. If that executive order gets passed, or rather when the executive order is placed into effect, and the 2016 election comes around, and the Republicans go to their base for campaigning to determine who is going to be the leader, who is going to be running, who's going to win that primary, that person is going to have to be very anti-immigrant. That's just the reality. The reality is the sect of that party that votes in the primaries are anti-immigration and anti a whole lot of other things. Actually, today, if you go to Daily Coast today, I placed the blog that I placed up there this week, or this morning at 11 o'clock Central Standard Time, was about a teacher here in Texas, in Houston, Texas. And it's amazing what happens underneath. A lot of people see a lot of good things happening in the country, and they wonder, why is it that the president's polling numbers are so low? Why is it that all these things are so low? What Americans don't know is that what you see as media on TV, or what you read, what you see in many other places, isn't what's the reality. The reality is that there is an underground. There is an underground movement, and yes, it is the Tea Party movement, but it's a Tea Party movement underground and decentralized, but with a purpose. There's a third grade teacher in Houston, Texas. Her name is Angela Box, that created a stir in Houston because she is a panelist on a rather conservative political show that goes on Access TV that has not a lot of listenership, but they have YouTubes and so forth out there that people watch. And she was rather raunchy, caustic, Islamophobic. And, you know, Quanel X, who is one of the activists in Houston, called her a racist. She's not a racist, I don't think. But she was quite bigoted in her beliefs. And I think we have to be careful how we throw these words around, because, again, everything isn't racist. Ideological differences doesn't necessarily mean racist differences or anything of that nature. So what I did last night when I wrote that blog, and I didn't get through that blog till about, because I had to cut some strips out of the out of their YouTube, and I wanted to make sure I was accurate. So I didn't want to judge this woman solely on what the news media said on ABC and on Fox 26, which they both came out. Well, Fox 26 came out hard against her. ABC 13 was simply noncommittal, but pretty bland. And what I did is I went ahead and reviewed her Twitter channel. I reviewed a lot of the panels that she was on this conservative Tea Party type talk show. And when I got through watching these things, first of all, I felt it was depressing because there are people watching these people, believing these people. We wonder why America is so divided. We wonder why America is in such a caustic state. Well, it's because of this underground that is out there promoting these issues with a plausible, with a sort of plausibility that makes their vitriol acceptable. It makes their vitriol acceptable. And that is not occurring on Access TV, and it's occurring, and I'm not going to be create false equivalences here. These are actions that are taken specifically on the right. These caustic, vitriolic actions are taken specifically on the right. I scan networks. I scan the internet. And while it is true that we have vitriol on both sides, there is an organized, caustic, vitriolic behavior that we as a society must take some responsibility in addressing. Going back to the person, to the teacher, she actually was pretty vitriolic in her display. She was anti-Muslim. She was anti-liberals. She was anti just about everything, not what they deemed sufficiently conservative. In fact, some conservatives took a lot of attack as well because I guess they weren't conservative enough. But what Quanelec said in one of the interviews is this is a woman who must leave this type of behavior and then go to class and teach third graders. And what is the, and by the way, she's very anti-social, social services as well. And she teaches in a minority community, which then in a low end minority community, which kind of one makes you wonder what her behavior would be with many of her kids who are likely themselves on or an assistant. So the parents are justifiably concerned that this woman would actually not be good for their kids. Now, this woman has free speech. She has a right to do whatever she wants to do outside the venue, outside the school district. But the concern that parents have is what would she do based on her beliefs in class? Same things that we can promote on a national level. And so one of the things that I mentioned in the blog at the end is, look, she has free speech, and I really don't think they can fire her for this. But if no parent wants her teaching their kids because of their fear of her behavior, that in itself can make there is no place for her. Okay, let me get to the phone since I have some people on. And folks, remember the telephone number is 646-929-2495. Please push 1 if you want to speak. That's how I know to call on you. I have several people listening. I don't know to call you unless you push a 1 and let me know. 404, who do I have the honor of speaking with?
Hey, Berto, Willie, Bobby Rodrigo, good afternoon. How are you?
How you doing, sir?
I'm good. Glad, as always, a good subject. I was listening to the way you were describing what was going on with the conservative vitriol.
Yes.
And I got to thinking that, as much as I'm on the internet, as you know, we both have very similar lives when it comes to discussing things and trying to be, what would you call us? A bellwether, maybe? Just trying to let people know what's going on out there. I think you're right on the side of the conservative. I think what the liberals do from a media standpoint, not from a personal standpoint, is the media slant. I think that they're kind of guilty of slanting their news stories. Now, we know the right is as well, so I'm not giving them a pass. But I think, you could say you have organizations like Politics USA. Now, I certainly am not going to accuse them of not telling the truth, but they certainly leave a lot out, and they certainly slant things. There's no question about it. I rarely tell people even about that particular page just for that reason, regardless of what the subject might be. So, you know, but it's interesting on the polarization issue, because we are completely divided. And again, the Coffee Party, the platform of the Coffee Party was essentially created because of the ridiculous amount of disinformation and polarizing, hateful speech that was mainly coming from the right. I mean, we had Occupy at the time, and we had a very nasty response to Occupy, and so many of the things that they were standing for, we should all stand for without question. They were just a little unorganized in various ways. They should not have been treated the way they were, certainly by the police. They should not have been treated the way they were by the media, particularly from the right. And they certainly shouldn't have been talked about the way they were from the right back then. And during that 2010 election cycle, when the Coffee Party, you know, basically became a talking place where people can go and actually talk about their ideas, that's what makes that particular aspect important. Not only this, not the civil part so much, even though that's important, but the factual part, because we are dealing with a lack of facts. And without question, you're right, I believe, in looking at it the way you do, that the right does it more so than the left. And the right's attacks of the liberal side are very extreme. There's no question about that. The left has some on certain ways, but the right is very extreme. And a lot of it's not provoked as well, I have to say. I have to agree with that.
Right. And, you know, I think I have Jack on the next line. I'll come to you in a little bit, Jack. I think it is important, very important, Bobby, that we, and I, that's the reason I mentioned the thing about not wanting false equivalences, because I think it is important for us to know it. I mean, I am sitting here, and tomorrow I think I'm putting this one up on Coffee Party, because what happens is, I notice with some people, whenever we post certain things, they give the impression like, well, look, that is, you know, it seems like you're attacking. And a lot of what I try to say is, no, I'm not attacking, I'm informing. Because there are a lot of conservatives that want to visit, let's say, visit our Coffee Party site. And one of their concerns, one of the concern is that, well, wait a minute, is this really a place for me as well? Hell yes. But let me tell you, it doesn't mean that you're not going to be, and this goes for liberals as well, called out for certain things. Let me tell you what happened to me yesterday. My wife brought the mail into the office, okay? And what do I have in my hands right now? I have a 4-page letter from some person here in likely Kingwood as well, but they signed it Sarah Palin. It was a hate letter sent to me, and in which one of the things that they did is, first of all, it is evident that they follow my blog, because it seems like they know quite a bit about my health, my wife's health history, etc. And as I've always told people, my wife has lupus, and it's interesting because in hidden Obamacare, and their hate for Obamacare. One of the phrases, and I'm leaving it for folks to read tomorrow when I post it, but one of the things that they use is, there's one sentence that got to me, and it says, "Hey, Egberto, when Obamacare is repealed, you can move to Cuba with your gimp wife and get free care there." And as everybody knows,
I'm so sorry that happened to you. That is ridiculous.
But what I'm trying to illustrate to folks, okay? It's and let me be a frank, Bobby. That letter and those words mean nothing to me. My skin is probably as thick as leather. But what I'm saying is, this is the kind of stuff that a lot of people in wheelchairs, that, you know, GIMP is a slur for the invalid, okay? And by the way, my wife is not an invalid. My wife has lupus, and my wife goes out there whenever she's doing well, and she does a whole lot. She runs the lupus group. She runs a whole, she's a deacon at a church. She does quite a bit. But
sure,
anyhow, she's defining my wife as an invalid. But here's the problem. The problem is that while I am in this business, the business of politics and activism, there are hundreds of thousands of people that are disabled that the right, that who are seeking to ensure Obamacare is not overridden, that hear this, other people. And do you know what it does psychologically to those folks who are told, who are dependent on something like Obamacare to have a good lifestyle or a good life? And they have to hear folks like that. Now, just for the record, I have never, ever been without health insurance, thank the Supreme Being. I have always paid my full insurance out of pocket and my medical bills out of pocket. So my fight is not a fight for myself. It's a fight for the well-being of us all. Because if we all don't do well, I don't see how individuals feel well. I cannot believe that one can watch others suffer and not feel if they are in the position to do something about it, do something about it. Stay with me, Bobby. Let me get to Jack.
Jack,
my dear friend, how are you doing, sir?
Okay, fine. And I'm curious to know who that third-day grade teacher is and where it's coming from.
Well, she's actually Houston, Texas. Houston, Texas, Jack. And the story just broke a few days ago. I think it broke on Monday, but it wasn't quite picked up. And then slowly it started to pick up, and then I picked it up. After I wasn't going to write about it, but when I just happened to say, let me go to this Tommy's Garage, which is the name of the access show that they have. And I said, let me go to the show. And to say I was appalled is an understatement. I was appalled that these are people that consider themselves moral. And this woman in the classroom, I would be concerned if I had a third grader, how would my daughter be treated in her class? Because my daughter, I'll tell you something, my daughter from she was 3 years old, she was a liberal. And I mean, she grew up with me, so what can I say? So... anyhow, and she has some thoughts that she would have told that teacher if she had said anything. So I would always be concerned. But anyway, Jack, what else do you have to tell me?
I got a great granddaughter is going to be 4 on Tuesday, the 18th.
Yes.
And so it's happening. I'm really getting PO'd at why the people are, it's as much the people that voted for, and I hate to say this about Texas, the Gohmerts and the Cruises.
It's sad. You're right. You're right,
it's
Jack.
In Texas, Texas and Mississippi and Georgia. There's a guy from Georgia, and they lost Jimmy Carter, grandson or whatever, for governor.
Right.
And I voted for Jimmy Carter back in 1976.
He was a good man.
But he was maligned. He did the first breakthrough in the Israel-Egypt.
Right. Jack, I tell you something, Jack. I think I'm not going to post this one tomorrow, but Bill Maher last night had a message to all the non-voters that it was quite funny, and I think he did a good job with it. And I have to cut it up because I'm not going to post the whole thing, so I'm going to cut the pertinent portions out of the video and post it on the channel for folks to see. But when you look at places like Georgia and you look at places like Texas, and we have to get to people's minds. And Kansas. We have to give them something. We have to make like I placed, and I think I did this blog a couple, 3 days or 4 days ago. I said what Republicans do is they make it, and the reason why their turnout is a lot better, and I shouldn't just say Republicans, I should say the people on the right, because it's not only Republicans that are on the right. There are Democrats on the right. I live with among some of them. There are Democrats on the right as well. But anyhow,
independents too.
Yes, sir. And what they do is they don't show, they don't make it an existential reason for voting. Right now, the right believes it's an existential. It is there that they must vote, because the country is getting away from them. If you listen to the Tommy's Garage and what these people believe and how they talk, these are not bad people. I mean, I watch them. I'm watching them. I know that I could go as a liberal. I can go into that room and they'll treat me nicely. How do I know? Because I've been there. I've been to Greg Abbott's stuff when at one time I didn't tell them who I was. Then at the end I told them who I was. And what they felt is, they wanted to understand why it is that I didn't feel the way they felt. But they're misled. And, you know, that is our job. Let me get to 210, Jack. 210, John, I think that's you. How you doing, John?
Yeah, good afternoon, Egberto. Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned the Mar piece, because I think that that's really important. When my city council decided to resign, when we held a special election for a new city council person, only 5% of the voting eligible voters showed up. But I was definitely one of them, and I did all of my research, you know. And there were, frankly, it was a terrible choice. There were, I think, you know, three very conservative Republicans and one guy who was a Chamber of Commerce leader. And then the two Democrats were very, you know, they were awful. But I didn't care, because I knew it was my civic duty to vote. And so I made my decision and I voted. So in a way, I think that all of this talk, and I listened for a short time to the guy that you had on your KPFT show, and it's really funny, because, you know, I agree with him on policy on almost everything he said, but I completely, completely disagree with him. And I was surprised that you didn't call him out on this, because last Saturday you were saying just the opposite. He was saying that basically people need to boycott the Democratic Party, and what you were saying last Saturday is that the Greens and the Socialists should come together within the Democratic Party. And so,
I thought I said that on the show as well.
Okay,
did I
well
say
maybe
that?
I missed that. Maybe I missed that, because I know you were praising him with a lot of, you know, with a lot of accolades, and that's, you know, I mean, I agree with him, like I said, on policy, but I mean, I just don't think that you're going to achieve very much. And I know Bobby disagrees strongly. I mean, like, I voted for a Green Party candidate in my congressional district just because there wasn't a Democrat on the ballot. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I used to do that a lot. I used to, when I first started voting in my teenage years and in the 20s, I used to vote for a lot of Greens, because that's why I felt really expressed what I felt. But then, you know, I just saw how the Republicans were taking this country in an extremely negative direction. And I just think that people who really they don't really understand how bad it's going to get if the Republicans actually, you know, win the Senate and have the House and have the presidency in 2017. It will be such an extreme change. I mean, I think it'll be so historic. I can't think of anything in American history besides maybe the change of the New Deal, which the American public really wanted. But unfortunately, I just don't think people understand. Another thing that Mar said, not on the last show, but on the show, you know, I guess 8 days ago, is he was saying people just don't want to look under the hood. They just want to throw the bums out all the time. They don't want to look at economic policies at all. And I think this is kind of applies to him because I saw the interview with Rand Paul, and I can't even believe that he's even you know, considering voting for Rand Paul. To me, that just makes me, you know, think that Maher really doesn't, you know, have an understanding of how awful Rand Paul's economic values are. But
let me tell you, two things, John. First of all, let me tell you that my stance remains. My personal goal in the little piece that I can play in it is to encourage green socialists, all these guys, to eventually form something like the Tea Party for the Democratic Party. And I stand by that. The accolades I gave to Carl Gibson is very well deserved in the work that he has done with Uncut. And as far as putting all these things together, I mean, remember that one of the important things that he said is, I made sure and did my civic duty. I voted. Carl Gibson made sure to say that. And having a leader of the youth movement under Uncut, and, you know, at Netroots, I met a whole lot of these guys, a lot of these younger guys that are in the Uncut movement, et cetera, et cetera. And having him take that position, he is the type of person that guys like you, me, Bobby, Jack, would want to have under our wings, because he is going to have a lot more impact on those young people than we are going to have, because we are the, you know, you and I, we are not old in the mind, John. We know what's right. We know what real progressivism is, but we need somebody like Carl to be able to relate that to folks his age in a manner that folks his age want. So what you'll find with the way is that I don't want any real contentions or you know, conflicts where can be avoided with these young folks on the left, because these are guys that the expectation is that we all join together in the fold. And we have to be very careful in the way we try to get folks into the fold. At least that's my humble opinion.
Right, but if you have, you know, a lot of the millennials voting for socialists, voting for Greens, you know, it's also taking – it's also actually making Republicans more electable, and the percentage, the chance that they're going to be more electable is higher. I mean, there's no
right.
question about it, because both parties play that game. I mean,
correct. I am agreeing with you, sir. John, I'm agreeing with you. I am agreeing with you. The goal is to have those guys realize that until we can really change what we have, which is a two-party system, we have to co-opt the two-party system. I think you agree with that as well.
Yeah, I mean, if I guess the exception to the rule would be if somehow in 10 years, you know, you have a separate Tea Party, and you had then that maybe there would be a progressive party that could come up, and if there was a four-party system where the progressive party actually had a chance of winning elections, then at
right.
that point my mind would be a little bit changed. And I know a lot of people will say, well, that can't happen if you continue to vote for Democrats. But you're just going to – all you're doing is ceding power to Republicans if you don't vote for Democrats. I mean, that's the way
I feel at this time. Yeah, you are. Let me tell you what's important. I mean, there's a great model out right now, and it's in. And I know you've probably read about it already because we mentioned it on the show, on one of these shows, and that is Richmond, California. And Bobby, I'm gonna bring you in next. Richmond, but your mic was a bit noisy. But Richmond, California, where the Greens and the Democrats got together and beat back the $3 million from I don't remember if it's Chevron, Texaco, or one of the oil companies.
It's Chevron.
Chevron, and worked through that maze, working together as progressives. And I think the mayor is green, and I don't know if it's still green or what, but the mayor at one time was green, from the Green Party. And in fact, I'm going to get her on the Move to Amend show sometime in the near future. But I know she was green, and the city council, of course, has quite a few Democrats, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So the thing about it is we have to – one of the problems with progressives is that progressives are so knowledgeable, if you will. And the problem is when we get into these intellectual discussions, sometimes we work against each other. And that is something that personally, on my part, I promise never to do. I'm not going to let differences between takes in the liberal sphere stop me from working with anybody in the liberal sphere. But let me bring Bobby in to see if he has anything to add here. Bobby, you have anything to add to based on what John said?
A couple of observations. I was thinking about, as John was talking about the Green Party, particularly in the socialist stuff on the side of the Democratic Party and trying to bring them together. You know, you and I both know Jill Stein, for example, and for those who don't know, she ran for president of the Green Party, actually got arrested by trying to be part of the debates for the presidency. I had Howie Hawkins, who ran for governor in New York. I had him speak at the Panda Takeback Tour in Albany. I also had Christopher Eddy speak, who was running for lieutenant governor on the Libertarian Party. And one of the reasons why these alternatives exist, and one of the reasons why the original Tea Party was created until they got co-opted, is because the parties that are in power are corrupt. The Green Party, and I know you know this from speaking to these people, the Green Party mainly problem with the Democratic Party is because they believe that it is so corrupt and it is so off course that they just can't in good conscience be part of it. And the Libertarian Party is the same thing when it comes to the right, even though I don't believe Libertarians should be so co-opted to the right. But putting that aside, if you look at the numbers, so far anyway, as much as I would love it to impact, so far they are not impacting any races, because we had, for example, Jack mentioned Jason Carter, for example. You know, we had three candidates here we had five, but we had three candidates that were well known in Georgia. We had a Republican, Democrat, and a Libertarian. I didn't like any of them. Jason Carter has not impressed me at all in any way, shape, or form, and we were involved in a political event where Jason Carter was there, Jimmy was there, and my friend Ted Metz, who ran for insurance commissioner, was on the stage, and it was interesting listening to the way the conversation was going and what they were standing for. You know, I wasn't happy. Now, Nathan Deal is running the most corrupt government in this state, in this country, as far as I'm concerned. So I don't want him as governor either, you know. But I can look at New York and look at the kind of government that Cuomo's running, and he's talking about running for president, and New York is corrupt big time. I mean, the ties to money and the way that corruption has been revealed in New
York.
But
I want to jump back to the subject here, specifically this question here. You just said that I think you were attempting to address – can you turn one of those things down, Bobby? It's kind of getting feedback.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I'm getting feedback. Yeah. Anyhow, I think you're addressing something from John, where you're attempting to say that that voting for the Green Party somehow didn't impact those races. That may be true in those races, but John is absolutely correct that sometimes a vote for these alternative parties can actually swing elections. And I think it is important for us to be communicating that sort of a thing, because you have to ask yourself, what is that vote for? And let me bring John in to kind of comment more about that. John?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, this is what Sam
Bobby,
Peter was
hold
talking
on,
about.
John, Bobby, you're still feeding – hold on. John, Bobby, you're still feeding back. I don't know if you're using speaker phones or what, but it's reverbing back into the system.
I'll fix that.
Yeah. Okay.
There you go.
Go ahead, John.
Right. I mean, Sam Cedar was talking about this. He's saying that, you know, it's okay to vote your conscience. Like he was talking that, you know, he can't stand Cuomo. And what a lot of Bobby is saying is right. I mean, there is tremendous – I wouldn't say tremendous. I would say there is corruption within the Democratic Party. And the Democratic Party, a lot of members, I would say over half, maybe even more, are too tied to big corporations and to money, okay? And so, you know, like Sam Cedar was talking about his choice, and he said Cuomo is very much a part of that, and I agree with that. And so his choice is, well, is Cuomo, is my, you know, is my vote for Howie Hawkins really gonna put a Republican in office, or does Cuomo have enough of a lead? And so his final decision was, no, my, you know, I can vote my conscience, I can vote for the Green Party, and Cuomo's still going to win, because as bad as Cuomo is, he's not, you know, he's not like Astorino, who's just going to be absolutely
sure.
off the... you know, that's a question. That's what I had, you know, because into the 2000, I was living in New York City, and I had the same question in my mind, because, you know, should I vote for Nader or should I vote for Gore? I had a pretty negative opinion of Gore at the time. And at the end, I said, no, I'm not gonna do this. I'm just going to vote for Gore, and, you know, and I'm not going to be a spoiler. Because I just feel that Nader is too advanced. I mean, the country just isn't ready for Nader at this point.
Yeah.
And I wish it wasn't true. I wish I could say, in 10 years we can get some great, you know, Green Party leader, you know, will like do a Perot and actually win, you know. I mean, but I see the country actually getting worse, you know. I see that
right.
people's choices are being worse. And I know what people are saying is, you know, you shouldn't be motivated by who's going to be worse. And that makes it difficult for people to vote. But, I mean,
right.
for me, that is the choice. The choice is
who's
going to be worse, you know. And there's absolutely no –
John, what you're saying is so very important. As an example, right? If I don't support absolute democratic voting right now, I am putting the lives of over 50 million Americans at risk. Why am I saying that? Using my wife as an example again. Affordable health care, these guys say they're going to repeal it. We all know that the reason for the complexity of Obamacare is because to get Obamacare, we had to sell out to some corporations. Otherwise, we wouldn't. That's a long story. I don't want to go into the details.
Which is why
it
will not be repealed. They will never be repealed because of that very fact. And I believe that the repealing argument is a false argument, because corporations are going to spend a lot of money.
We'll see what the Supreme Court does, Bobby.
Oh yeah,
that's
another thing. Yeah.
Jack has been quiet for a while, so let me get Jack in a little bit. Jack, is there anything you want to say from what you've heard so far, sir?
I'm going to say it in 8 short words. The Democratic Party is the lesser of two evils. To go by that, they need a strong third party based on melding the philosophies of the two Roosevelts and Reagan. Now, there's some good things about Reagan that Reagan would never be accepted by today's Republican Party, this is way so far to the right, it's ridiculous. I'm 83 years old, and they have a stereotype of old men. Old white men are all conservative, reactionary. I'm not that way.
Well, you know, besides,
I'm Jewish, and that's different.
But no, Jack, you have always been an old white man that has been a liberal stud for a long time. So, you know, you give us that guidance we need, Jack. Okay, Jack, I'm all quiet for you.
I also don't believe in labels, and I like the idea of the no labels.
Stud is a good label. What are you talking about? Stud is a very good label, Jack. You need to run with that.
Hey, Jack, we're giving you a compliment, dude.
But I I have some ideas. I mean, first of all, they should not kowtow that the Democrats, both the Democrats and Republicans, are kowtowing to Wall Street.
Yes, I know. You know what? We're at 46 minutes. I want all of y'all to answer something for me, and tell me if this is just wishful thinking or imaginary thinking on my part. But I wanted to tape the Obama news conference right after the shellacking, and I also did that the very first time in 2010, and I see big differences in the way he looks. And it's amazing because after I wrote that blog, and by the way, my blog hasn't been released at all for yet, but it was almost reaffirming after I wrote it, and it's been written for a few days now, that I noticed all the news media are saying the same thing. Obama seemed to have a new step, as if I am not allowing the Democratic Party to mess with my inner progressivism anymore. Any thoughts on that, John?
Well, I mean, there are certain things that he's done, obviously, talking about immigration reform and net neutrality. I mean, he's already been talking about that. The net neutrality was particularly strong, but I mean, he's always been in favor of net neutrality. I mean, that makes me wonder why he appointed Wheeler, which was just a terrible thing to do. But
good
at the
point.
Same time, he's also, he still believes the TPP. He just put something up on the White House website right before his trip. He still believes in that, and that will have the most. Well, I mean, it depends on how much he caves and all the shutdowns that are going to be happening, and debt ceiling debacles that are going to be happening. But I mean, you know, those are going to be his two biggest negative factors. As far as his legacy goes, if TPP actually
bad trade deals,
I think he believes it. I honestly think, John and Bobby, that he believes in the narrative of the TPP. I honestly believe that there are economists that are talking to him. Remember, go ahead, John. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, I see your point. I think he is sincere about it, but I think he's sincerely wrong. I mean,
agree with you.
Right. I mean, like,
but here's
some,
the deal.
Like these tribunals that can override.
Yeah.
I mean, at first I didn't even believe that when I first heard about it. But I mean, you just hear it over and over and over again, and you know, you think,
it's
well,
not
it,
the tribunals
it,
alone. It's a patent. It's a patent that will stop the poor countries from being able to get cheap medicine.
It's endless.
It's a whole.
It's endless.
Yeah, it's an
endless,
endless amount of bad things.
Where would we be without WikiLeaks? Think about that. Where would we be on this issue without WikiLeaks? Because
I agree with you.
People that have leaked the most documents, that's where the majority of the information is coming from. And we all know how skeptical we were about that.
Bobby, but here's the deal, Bobby. And John, this goes for John and this goes for Jack. The thing about it is we have to organize against the PPP in an organized fashion. And we have to do that quickly. Right now, we can't allow the TPP to look like a fringe left against it. You know?
But it's not.
We have
it's to- not. The libertarians are completely against the TPP, and both sides don't know that about each other. And without question, libertarians against that. It's amazing.
I have two interviews that's been. You remember when the people marched in front of the White House?
Yeah.
I did two Skype interviews, one with a leader in Wisconsin who is a member of Move to Amend Wisconsin, and I did an interview with a student at the University of Wisconsin, I believe it is, and I never released it, wrote it up or anything, because it was like it would not get any traction at that time. Now that it's coming up, I'm going back to those archives, and I'm going to pull it up. And process those videos that haven't been processed and try to do something to move it on. But my question to bloggers and to any bloggers who are listening to this thing, are you going to start stepping up the TPP narrative, the proper TPP narrative? Because that is what we're going to have to do. Otherwise, TPP will be a foregone conclusion. It is going to happen.
Yeah,
if there is
there's no question about that. There's no question about that. You know, I would offer to you, Brody, you're going to love this. I would offer to you that your property's rights document would pretty much stop it in its tracks, by the way. But we don't have to go there. I just have to say that. I just have to say that. But, you know, I'd like to ask John and you and Jack a question relative to what your subject was. I want to stay on point for you. I don't want to drift here. Talking about the Democratic Party and the parties in general, and we all know how I feel about the party system. I asked you this the other day, Alberto, and I put it out there. Why are the Democrats, because we're talking about the Democrats, why are the Democrats so opposed to ballot access? And I posed the question to you, Alberto, and I say it to you, John. If I came up to your residence and I had a petition and I said I need to get a signature, I need to get as many signatures as I can up to, let's say, 50,000 in order for me to be on the ballot, would you please sign it? Would it matter to you what my stance was on anything? Shouldn't I have the ballot access, especially if we are as quote-unquote liberal as we are? So I think every party is going to object to that.
Every party will object to that.
Well, no, that's not every party that's going to object. There's only two parties that are objecting to it. The other parties don't their platform.
No, I phrased that wrong. I was completely wrong in the way I phrased that. I should say every controlling party will object to that. And to put it bluntly, that is one place where you would see Republicans and Democrats get together to squash that.
They did it in Illinois. Yes. They did it in concert in Illinois. It was ridiculous. Every alternative party was attacked ad nauseum by both the Republicans and the Democrats, and then that decision in New Jersey. So there's so much going on in that regard that it's really hard to have a legitimate debate about how to vote on anything because people aren't being allowed to be a part of it. And what we just went through here in Georgia, we had to give Andrew Hunt, and I was not an Andrew Hunt guy, and we had to give Andrew Hunt 20% of the vote in order to open the ballots to that one party the next time around, where they don't have to petition.
Right.
That's absurd.
Right.
So anyway,
it is.
I mean, I just wanted to put that out there.
John,
for
you have anything to add to that?
Well, yeah, I mean, I agree with Bobby. We should be able, that's just part of democracy. We should be able to have
right.
as many people. I mean, you set a number, and I guess that we could have a disagreement on the number. But, I mean, you know, if you look in states like Vermont or Oregon, you know, they're like, I was looking at the governor's race, and I think there were seven people on both of those races for governor, if different parties, you know, Green Party, Libertarian, Independents, a lot of Independents, and, you know, some of them with Constitutional Party, whatever you want to call your party. So, yeah,
right.
I agree that people should have the choice. I mean, no doubt about it.
Yeah,
I tell you what,
it's an interesting thing.
In Maine, it was a nut case in Maine. Anybody who was rationally looking at that, though.
There's always nut cases. There's always nut cases. Come on. We have one that's going to be put in charge of the Environmental Committee in the Senate. There's
Can
always
you
nut
believe
cases.
Believe that in a house?
Oklahoma. In a house.
Yes, of course. Come on. I mean, yeah. You know, this is how absurd we are and how absurd that party is. If he believes in God, why does he get to force that down our throat? He, as a constituent, as a member of this country, I should have somebody who is an elected official who's going to leave all the doors open to make sure that our world is better. He's absurd. To even
open his
mouth and say the things that he says is so beyond what he's supposed to be doing as an elected official, and it just blows my mind. It just blows my mind. And he's going to get
exactly.
the job. He's going to be the guy.
Look, I got to close the show out, but before, Bobby, I want to ask you, I think you kind of wet your foot on blogging from ourcoffeepartyusa.org. Whenever you are ready to go solo, in other words, to get your own domain, remember one of the things that we're here at Coffee Party for people that are willing to blog in a particular civil manner but poignant manner. You can start out blogging at ourcoffeepartyusa.org, but the whole idea in the future is that You will get your own named blog. So, Mr. Bobby Rodrigo, now that your feet are wet, whenever you're ready to go solo, you just let us know.
I'm already way out there. You know that. I love what you're saying. This show has inspired me to write a blog, and I already know what my show is going to be about on Tuesday. We're going to talk about the TPP. There's no question about
Excellent.
It.
Excellent. I'd love to hear that. You know what, Bobby?
Subject,
close me out real quickly.
We're opening that up.
Close me up. 30 seconds, Bobby.
I'm sorry,
close
out
with 30 seconds. Close me out with 30 seconds.
Wonderful show as always. Everybody should be tuning in to Politics Get Right. You have a man who's out there looking out for us. Make sure and give him your time and talk to him civilly and bring your views. He wants to listen to him.
Jack, close us out. Thank you, Bobby. Jack, close us out. 30 seconds.
Should be a strong third party patterned after the two Roosevelts and Reagan, melding of the, as I said before. No labels. And I think labels are getting harmful to the public.
Thank you very much, Jack. It was a pleasure as usual having you. And John, take us home.
Yeah, I just want to – I'll go back to your original headline, which is, did the midterm election liberate Obama? And I hope it did, but one of the main things that he's going to be facing is, you know, he's going to be facing a lot of bills, you know, forcing shutdowns, and short shutdowns are probably going to be happening, and it could be pretty soon, actually. And so when that pressure is on – the last shutdown, everybody knew that the Republicans caused it. Now, this next shutdown that's going to happen, there's going to be a lot more pressure on them because the Republicans are going to say, you know, well, the public voted for us. And so I just want to make sure that Obama stands his ground, and it looks like he is. Obviously, the TPP, I don't agree with him on. But if he stands his ground, and I'll be very happy with that. And then in 2016, we'll have a lot more people voting, and it'll be very different.
Thank you very much, John, as usual. Love to have you here. Folks, please do remember that Coffee Party has currently 3 radio shows, and hopefully we'll have some more in the near term. Anyhow, on Tuesdays, you have at 8:30 p.m., I Take Liberty with my coffee with the good old Bobby Rodrigo, who you've been listening to here. On Thursdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, you have Lunch with Loudon with Janine Loudon. That is our angel here at Coffee Party. And, of course, on Saturdays, you're here with me, 1 p.m. Eastern, Politics Done Right with Egberto. Folks, I'm signing out. I appreciate the time that you give to the show. Please do share the podcast. Let's make a difference in the country. And as Janine Loudon would say, coffee party on. Visit coffeepartyusa.com. Be a part of us. Have a wonderful Saturday. Bye-bye.